Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, our guest today is Brandon Na of Seattle Organic SEO. Brandon is an entrepreneur, digital marketer, and educator who has spent over 25 years providing as much impact as a digital agency owner, startup founder, and educational director, and much more. Thanks so much for joining us today, Brandon.
And thank you, Julia, for having me.
So let's dive into a couple questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit. So Tell us, what motivates you as an entrepreneur?
Great question, which I'm sure, is what, drives everybody every day when they jump into business. To be frank, solving problems was what really inspired me. When first, delving into, doing my own thing, I always think back on an interview it was more of a casual, just kind of lunch date with a previous CEO of mine. This company is called DoubleClick, which got gobbled up by Google in the early 2000s. But Kevin O'Connor and I sat down for lunch, and he basically said that businesses are just solving problems on a different scale.
Yeah.
And so just took that away, and it's really enjoyable to solve problems, especially the problems of small businesses to medium-sized businesses.
Absolutely. Love it. And then how did you get into digital marketing?
So, in a similar vein, I was actually a realtor in 2000, the early 2000s, after leaving both DoubleClick and had finished a stint with Expedia and Amazon. And so I'd done the .com thing, and a friend of mine encouraged me to get into real estate. And one thing that I don't like doing is selling. I'm not a really big salesperson, or at least at that time, I didn't enjoy this concept of what I thought was, like you were literally scamming somebody. That's what sales when you're young and idealistic, kind of feels like, right?
Yeah.
But I thought the quickest way to not sell somebody is to kind of pull them in. And I'd learned about SEO at the time. And I was like, maybe there's a way where I could, literally have people find me. And so I delved into it in that way. And so at that point, I just was really curious about how to, create that kind of situation. And, my foray into SEO started from there.
Very cool. And then, so how did Seattle Organic SEO come to be?
Great question. So it was literally about 7 years from that, starting point where I was curious about SEO. Mm-hmm. And then, I didn't feel like I could give anyone advice right away. There was a kind of intermediate period where I was working as the head of basically HR training and education in South Korea, and I had learned more and more about SEO. I have to thank Rand Fishkin and SEO Moz at the time, and now Moz, read a lot on there. Eventually just created websites and, tried to do my best to SEO them. Mm-hmm. And then eventually in 2010, when I'd come back from South Korea because I wanted to take care of my parents, I literally just Googled like Seattle SEO, SEO Seattle, looked up the top people who were in the search engine results pages, and I reached out. And most of them didn't reply, but this one guy by the name of Rob, responded, and we made an agreement, and he said he would teach me everything for, a set amount of, funds that if I learned and garnered clients. And so he taught me everything he knew, and then eventually, literally within 2 or 3 months, we were number one for Seattle SEO.
Wow, that's so cool. And then what do you love most about running your agency?
So I would say, as far as agencies are concerned, and just the whole notion of, you know, running one, what's really nice is frankly the diversity of clients, mm-hmm. you know, and also the ability, like I said at the beginning, you know, to solve problems that these, you know, folks are having. You know, in contrast to like in-house, you know, work where you're just solving one problem or one set of problems, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, I think there's definitely advantages to that, but having the ability to meet new people and, you know, all these different issues. And, you know, I love the didactic nature of literally our business. You know, I find that even though, there's a lot of people who know, you know, SEO or PPC or, you know, all these forms of digital marketing, mm-hmm. there's still a huge gap with small business to medium-sized business, sometimes even, you know, enterprise businesses who really don't know what we're doing. And so yeah. I love teaching, you know, and just really, you know, making that light bulb go off, you know, for people who don't know.
Yeah, definitely. I know it's hard to believe that people still don't understand it, but you know, now more than ever, it's so important for your business. So that's amazing that you're able to just, you know, really educate them and help them grow their business.
Yeah, thank you.
So what are some challenges that you encounter on a day-to-day basis?
Great. You know, I keep on saying great questions because these are great questions, right? But, but you know, I would say in terms of challenges, when we started the business or when we started the agency, I didn't know that solving problems would not equate to or would not generate, you know, the equal amount of funds to run a business, right? Because mm-hmm. to have an income and one thing that a lot of, you know, clients and sometimes just people in general don't know is you have to generate a bit of income, you know, per client or overall to survive and, you know, maintain, especially today with how inflation is running, you know, and, mm-hmm. and you know, at the beginning, I thought perhaps I could just charge them in the same way that I felt was fair as a client, right? Mm-hmm. And so I charge very little. And to this day, I still even have some challenges sometimes not charging enough. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there were some clients along the way that said, no, Brandon, you need to charge more. You know, you need to charge me more, which was funny, you know, and, you
those
know,
are good clients not, to hang on to.
Yeah, no, they were great clients. You know, if we do get around to, you know, speaking around the early times, I can tell you where I literally kind of paused the agency for a bit because, you know, there's different aspects to SEO in particular that are very, very challenging. And, you know, you're not sure if, you know, for the long term, it makes sense. But anyway, the issue of literally charging enough and what's a fair rate, you know, mm-hmm. and people, because of this didactic nature that you need to help them understand what you're doing, can be very challenging.
Yeah. So let's talk about what were some of those challenges that you faced when you were starting out early on.
Yeah. So the algorithm in 2011 changed significantly, where some of the tactics that we were using at the time, you know, and I learned from that gentleman, Rob, were very effective prior to 2011. Mm-hmm. But then in 2011, literally some of my clients just got penalized for us using some of those tactics. And, you know, it was to our surprise. And so mm-hmm. I felt like we weren't delivering value. And, you know, sometimes as a marketing agency or an advertising, you know, organization, you know, especially with SEO or with digital forms of marketing these days, you know, it's all about, you know, the ROI, the analytics and whatnot. And I just felt really guilty. And so I was literally like, you know, I'm sorry, but I got to fire you, you know, and, you know, it's the reverse, right? Mm-hmm. But I just couldn't continue the relationship if I wasn't delivering some form of value that at least at that time I couldn't see. You know, over the years, obviously, I've learned more and more. There are other things that we deliver, not just literally, you know, whether or not they get a click or they get impressions. There's much more to whatever we are doing for them. You know, there's a lot of different aspects to digital marketing than just those two analytic points.
Right. Okay. Interesting. So I'd love to pick your brain on a few of your top tips and lessons you've experienced while growing your agency, so our listeners can have some actionable takeaways that they can implement into their agency. So I'd love to start off and talk a little bit about sales. So what are your top tips for bringing in more leads and closing more sales?
Great questions on that too. I love these questions. So thank you for asking some really important things for all these other agency owners. So one thing, you know, you have to be blunt, you know, or very honest, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes people have this perception that, you know, you can, you know, frame something so that therefore you gain as an agency. But I think, you know, the more you dive into understanding their needs, the more you dive into literally the realities of their pain points, mm-hmm. I think you have a higher chance to really close the sale. And it doesn't become this, you know, quote unquote closing of the sale, but it becomes, you know, it gets back to that solving of a problem, right?
Yes.
And once you do that, and then maybe assign a value to it, you know, like, you know, you ask them questions like, what does this mean to you? Then mm-hmm. I think a lot of times you get more, you know, sign-in or rather whatever the term is, or buy-in rather, you know, for whatever they're needing. So really diving into problems, really trying to figure out what would really, you know, add value to whatever their situation is, mm-hmm. is kind of the way that I do it. So there isn't a quick and easy for me. I have to spend a lot of time kind of building a relationship with them. Mm-hmm. And I think the stronger the relationship, the easier the sale.
Yeah. So do you have any tips for building a really strong relationship and nurturing that relationship along the way?
Yeah, no, completely. You know, again, it's this issue of honesty, you know. Sometimes it's tough because when they come to the table, a lot of times, you know, they're in some painful situation or they're like desperate for your help. And so depending on how they approach you, you might not give them the time. And so I find clients or potential clients that come to the table that maybe not some, you know, they don't seem like the most ideal. You still want to give them a little extra chance, I guess, if I could say that, because, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes I think, especially if you've ran a business for a long time, you start to become very calculative, I guess, or, you know, you start to see things more black and white. But if you allow yourself to maintain that personal ability of just, you know, having, I mean, I'm not saying that these are all going to become your friends, but mm-hmm. I do find the ones that you tend to, you know, treat like friends or family end up being, you know, a lot more intimate and also just more long-term clients.
So yeah.
It gets back to that. I don't know if it's too simple of a concept, but you know, nurturing it as a valued relationship is very, very important.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And then, so do you have any techniques to stop, you know, when they're a prospect, to stop yeah. procrastination and close the sale?
So that, that's a tough one. I mean, some of these questions, definitely I expect, I'm not going to give you the most ideal response because you're right. They sometimes find the funniest, excuses on why they should perhaps not do this or not do that. And so, over time, sometimes I wish I could speak to a communication professor or something like that, or someone who's more of an expert in that respect. So in this particular category, I don't know if I have the best answer. Most of the times, when I think about it, because I do have some friends who were ex-salespeople, for example, mm-hmm. and they usually tend to tell me, like, you know, you really need to drill in to, you know, those questions of, you know, how is it going to add value? And would you specifically, not be able to get what you need if you didn't do it today? You know, put some urgency around it, right?
Right. And what is the cost of inaction type thing?
Exactly. I'm not the type of person who, you know, instantly thinks that way. But when I think about, like, yeah, when I want something to happen a little bit quicker, you do have to put some of the, you know, time or you know, time frame kind of terms around it, right? Because
yeah.
we're not always focused around that.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, very good. And then, so how do you create happy, loyal clients?
So, you know, this is something I've been thinking a lot about lately in relation to just literally how you can frankly keep a client for a long time. Because what I mean is I think as digital agency owners, we tend to, you know, maybe focus a bit on trying to secure the sale. Mm-hmm. So like that's our immediate thought. And then, but we don't really spend a lot of time in thinking about how long that client will be with us, because, you know, from the point that you obtain them as a client, sometimes we just think of, oh, how can we improve month over month or maybe year over year? Mm-hmm. But then if you do that for a very long period and you're constantly gaining on that, you actually create sometimes a pain point for yourself, because it's really hard to improve upon that initial sometimes, you know, gain. And so we don't think about the entire pie. And so for one of the agencies, I actually helped, I've actually helped other larger agencies along my way. And one, I actually created this concept where it was called the visibility calculator. Mm-hmm. And the visibility calculator, something that still to this day has not been created. What it means is it's a concept where you're able to actually look at the entire real estate or possibilities that you can actually touch or, you know, literally exploit for your business. And once you have that, then you can figure out how you chip away at the different chunks that are available. Because let's say you only have 25% of that entire pie. Mm-hmm. Well, then you know you have 75% more to obtain, right? And so you can map it out. You can potentially even put like a 5-year plan around it. So then it's very defined. And then you know, say that's a nice period to literally expect and then have this more longer term relationship. But I feel like this question that you're asking, you know, we don't always think about, oh, okay, there could be an expiry date for this client. You know, some of us want to have these people forever, but it might be a little bit different for the digital marketing, you know, landscape. But anyway, that's something that I've been thinking a lot about, and that's kind of how I'm thinking about maybe attacking it moving forward.
Okay. Very interesting. I like that. And then, so what has been your biggest challenge to date, and how have you overcome that?
So I would say HR, to be frank, you know.
Interesting.
Because especially with my personality, I tend to give a lot, and it starts right at the beginning. And
just for some context, how big is the team that you're running?
Yeah, so it goes up and down. It's anywhere from a handful of people to, you know, more than a dozen at times. But,
okay.
But right now, it's definitely in the handful of, you know, folks. So frankly, you know, when I tried to start the organization, I thought because we had literally, you know, dominated the Seattle market, that we could, you know, move to Portland, we could go to LA, we could literally expand throughout the United States. So I wanted to grow really quick. And so at that time, I had partnered with another individual and then also, you know, tried to build a sales force because that was his key to success. Mm-hmm. But I soon learned that that wasn't going to work. And frankly, part of it is due to my way of doing things. And then also he had a role in why it didn't expand at that time. But again, I just, over the years, I found that sometimes you have to be a little bit more hardcore, hard-nosed. I don't know what right term it would be. You know, you can't be so generous at the beginning. And so that's something that I think has been definitely a challenge. And still to this day, I find I don't know what is the most ideal to expand the team. Sometimes.
Okay. So maybe putting more of a stricter probationary period in place, that sort of thing.
That and frankly, you know, like salary or bonuses, or even to a certain degree, like profit share or equity in an organization, you know, I think it just, there's various ways of providing, you know, compensation. And I sometimes wonder what is the most ideal. When I used to work at Amazon, or when I worked at Expedia, and I, you know, even some of these other organizations, I thought I saw the ideal structure, but at the same time, it was for certain types of organizations. Like it worked for Amazon, or it didn't work for Expedia, for example. You know, so You know, so this has been an ongoing, you know, question that I have is I still don't know what is ideal, you know, even to satiate my own needs as an organizational, you know, founder or leader. Mm-hmm. It's very challenging. So I would definitely say that this is, at least for me, that's been one of my biggest challenges.
Okay. Interesting. So do you have any productivity hacks that you would like to share with us to help you save time?
So that's another good question. I'm trying to think, what do I use for productivity hacks? You know, obviously the basics like calendars and things like that are really essential. You know, the schedulers that occur like Calendly.
Yeah.
I don't know if you use Calendly, but
I
you know
do.
That. Okay. So you know how that works.
It's a lifesaver. You know,
it is. So having tools that do things automatically, obviously, and mm-hmm. I haven't done a real big, you know, scan of the latest tools lately, but sometimes tools don't think in a more comprehensive way. So the integration of those tools, as long as they have better integration in the ubiquitous tools that exist, mm-hmm. Definitely help us improve our time savings, right?
Yeah.
But then there's some that are really weak at that. And I would say that those are the ones that do, frankly, you know, end up, you know, hurting us. Another one that's kind of a basic thing, which I'm sure most people, you know, but, you know, don't look at email as often as you want.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah, because I think a lot of times when I find myself looking too much, you know, you recycle, or rather you spend too much time reading things or analyzing things.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Definitely that, you know, breaking that up into different parts of your day. And then I can't remember what tool it was, but a former CEO of a startup, you know, recommended it for email. But there is a tool out there. If I remember by the end of the interview, I'll try to share it. But there's these, you know, tools that kind of help you with email in particular, because I think that ends up being a lot of, you know, the time that we spend sometimes as owners.
Okay. So when you say it helps you with email, like, is it like email templates, or is it like integrating with your CRM? How does it help you?
From what I remember, is it filters or does a really good job, and it's kind of like AI.
Okay, cool.
And if I can't remember it during the interview, I'll definitely, you know, follow up with sending an email.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Send it over. I'll put it in the description for sure.
Sure.
Awesome. So what systems or software have been critical for helping streamline operations?
So for operations, you know, we're still pretty basic, I'll be frank, and we're still looking for definitely tools that help us with streamlining that, because the team has changed, you know, going from small to large and back
right.
to small.
Mm-hmm.
But for SEO in particular, you know, we rely on some of the larger, you know, tools that exist, and I don't know if that would necessarily apply to operations per se, but like SEMrush and Ahrefs, for example, you know, are just really nicer tools to rely on, versus maybe, even though I love Search Console and whatnot, you know, mm-hmm. sometimes they're not as automated as you would prefer. The other thing that, you know, I've you know, periodically done is I've assigned engineers to, you know, code certain scripts and things like that to kind of mm-hmm. help us, you know, expedite certain processes. But that's
nice.
About it. Yeah, so I would say that. And plus, one of my sons is majoring in computer science now, so I'm going to task him with some of these needs, hopefully long term.
Yeah, when you can build some custom software tools, when you know you've got something that you're just doing over and over, and it can help you save time, that's where it's at.
It is awesome.
Nice.
Exactly.
So what do you do when times get hard as an entrepreneur?
You know, these days, it's actually that's a really, really relevant question, because I feel like, you know, I've heard some businesses, you know, really struggle through the periods. You know, I would say one of the things, you know, like larger organizations who are excelling at this have that benefit of scale, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the smaller ones, you know, definitely have to explore a little bit more. And so for us, you know, when we feel like maybe, you know, we're not making as much as we'd want per quarter or per year, I think it's more of just literally exploring different areas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having obviously a nice network sometimes helps as well, because frankly, you just have to kind of lean on people who you know are good friends with.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, you know, family can't always be that. And so sometimes these other folks who can relate with you better end up being better people to put, you know, your head on their shoulder kind of thing, right? And yeah. So I think I find that to be something that kind of helps. But also taking a step back and frankly, you know, reevaluating things because, mm-hmm. you know, why did we get in this, you know, in the first place kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Or what kind of impact does it make as we get a little bit older? You know, we want to make sure that we're delivering that. So, yeah, mm-hmm. so some of those kind of things help me understand because it's not just about money, right? It's sometimes mm-hmm. More about how we help people with that money and whatnot.
Yeah. I was given such a great tip. It was a previous podcast guest I had on, and it was part of their morning routine, something that they do every day. And they think every day when they wake up, they think of three wins from the day before. And I think that's such a great mindset to program into just something that you're thinking about every day. Like, what are those wins and how can I be creating more of them? So I love that.
Definitely. That's a great idea.
Yeah. Yeah. So knowing what you know now, is there anything that you would have done differently when you were first starting out?
Yeah, definitely. It relates to that earlier question about some of the challenges. And I think it was, you know, maybe more methodically price things out and figure out what is fair. Mm-hmm. The challenge, unfortunately, at that time is you don't know, like, what are all the different product lines and how to productize things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But being more clear about that and then put more of a schedule around how you deliver and you know, being very specific about what those deliverables are really make it better for clients. Because especially in the SEO space, because I would say with the SEO space in particular, it is a little vague sometimes mm-hmm. where you're not sure what you're really getting as a client. And so making sure that that's much more clear definitely is something I wish I would have done more at the beginning.
Yeah, I think that's really great advice. And then, so where do you see Seattle Organic SEO in 5 years' time?
So what we've actually done is we've kind of kept Seattle Organic SEO continuing the way it is. So it still helps with small businesses to medium-sized businesses. Mm-hmm. But I did launch a second agency that's kind of, you know, under the radar right now called Salience Digital. And so right now we're actually working on that to hopefully grow. The goal is to maybe over the long, long term is perhaps, you know, be a competitor to maybe some of the old school kind of huge agencies, but still solve the small to medium-sized business problems. Nice. You know, yeah. And then also tapping into what I'd said earlier about, you know, maybe focusing on maybe the pie, the landscape, or a different way to think about how we're delivering value.
Okay. Very good. That's exciting.
Yeah.
So we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but is there anything else you'd like to add before we begin wrapping up?
No, I just honestly thank you for the opportunity today to chat. It's a pleasure meeting you and getting to know you as well. So nothing special, to be frank. It's interesting times, to be honest, with COVID and everything, but that's about it. I'm sure everybody thinks that way right now.
Absolutely. So before we wrap up, we're just going to do the fast five real quickly. And so to start, what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
Yeah, this book has, from the day I, you know, read it to, you know, till now, I still can't think of any other book that's made as much of an impact. Paulo Coelho's The Alchemist has always been a favorite of mine. And it just, you know, there aren't a lot of books, for me at least, that make a huge impact, because I feel like they're kind of just recycling ideas. Sometimes they're bloated extensions of simple ideas, you know. So
yeah,
but this one, I just love the way the story is told, and I think he does a really good job with storytelling.
Awesome. And what does your morning routine look like?
Yeah, so with COVID, you know, it's definitely been different.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot less grooming, I guess, for the outside these days, you know, a little more convenience with, you know, the sweats and things like that. So I would say, you know, shower and shave, jump on the PC, you know, emails, as we talked about, is definitely a large part of our day. Mm-hmm. You know, read up on, you know, kind of like the news and things like that, and check, you know, what's going on. A little more focus on, like, you know, Bitcoin and crypto these days, just because it's kind of exciting. Then I think about actually my twin boys, because my twin boys are across the, you know, Pacific right now in South Korea. And I just want to write them as much as I possibly can when I can. So, you know, try to shoot off an email here and there, mm-hmm. or that inspires them. And then, you know, get back to work.
Nice. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
So, you know, the typical, like, you know, Elon Musk and Bill Gates, you know, they're interesting, obviously, but they're anomalies in my mind. Right? Mm-hmm. It's not like we can really replicate what they've had, you know, they're obviously in the media and stuff like that. So I don't look at people like that, but I actually really admire the CEOs and the small business owners and medium-sized business owners that we work with on a daily basis. So I actually try to glean into what they're doing. And so So two of my, you know, favorite clients, you know, Adrian and Donnie, you know, I kind of look at them and try to see, you know, a lot of times what they're doing in their businesses and, you know, sometimes, you know, even, you know, try to do things that they do. So I would say that those are the type of CEOs that I follow.
Great. And what is your favorite online tool?
So it's a toss-up, I would say, between like SEMrush and Search Console. Again, Search Console isn't as efficient in you know, providing us the data that we want, but at the same time, it's a great tool to get insights into Google, right? Mm-hmm. But SEMrush has been incredible because it has all of these different tools. I mean, one thing that a lot of people don't realize is, you know, you can get the top you know, websites that are organically optimized out there in the world to literally copy what they're doing. And this list is you know, kind of embedded deep into SEMrush, but I've always found that to be an incredible, incredible list of websites and resources to really, you know, leverage.
Amazing. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
So, you know, the notion of slow and steady, you know, winning.
Yeah.
I think as you get older, you know, we come back to and think that is probably something we wish we would have, you know, grabbed onto when we were younger, or at least that's what I think. Mm-hmm. At the same time, you know, when I think about this question, I wonder if I would have necessarily gravitated towards that, even if someone had wisely told me, because, you know, you know what we've seen over the past 20 years, at least, mm-hmm. we've seen a revolution in so many different areas, right?
Yeah.
From the smartphones to social media to, you know, even, you know, along social media, you know, people making millions on YouTube, right? And so I don't know if I could have predicted that. And as a result, sometimes, unfortunately, that advice or that type of thing, it would have been harder to really, you know, believe. But
yeah.
But I still feel like that is one of the things that when we get older, we kind of think, oh, okay, maybe I should have just kind of stuck with this or been much more steady about that.
Yeah, definitely having, you know, that patience is so important, you know, combined with having that hustle, like, you know, it's important to like do things, you know, don't sit on it. You got to get on it. But at the same time, don't be too quick to quit, you know, have that patience and endure through the hard times.
Exactly. Completely agree.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Brandon. It was a pleasure having you on the show, and I really appreciate you joining us.
You too, Julia. Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.